Welcome, friend. I am Merit Ansa, your dream coach and host of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. And I believe God has an unfolding plan for your life, a God-shaped dream just for you. But there are mountains to climb between you and that dream, like fear, comparison, imposter syndrome, and what if I mess this up? Or maybe the next right step is just evading you, or you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or stuck. I promise you are not alone. And that's why I'm here, to bring you stories from sisters in Christ who have been there and have made it out on the other end. Stick around and you'll find a new episode every Wednesday morning and once a month a solo where I will coach you through the stages of following our God-shaped dreams and provide fuel for the fire that's already burning in your heart. If you're ready to find some real traction for your dream instead of sitting on the sidelines, subscribe to the show and then meet me back here every week for transformational tools to help you release the lies so you can freely show up in the world with your gifts, leaning on God in your weaknesses, and serving His kingdom with the dream He's given you. Hello, dreamer. This is episode 209. And I am excited to introduce you to my guest today. She has faced some enormous challenges that God has allowed in her life over the last few years, one of which being the loss of a successful career in hospitality when she was furloughed as a result of the pandemic, and the other, a life-threatening diagnosis in her newborn daughter made shortly after birth. Just one of these, it seems, would be enough to induce despair. But for Jamie Dodaro, prayers and tears and questions to God, asking what He had for her and her family, led to the birth of a dream to write a children's prayer book. Today, Jamie is dedicated to helping busy moms find grace and enoughness with themselves and their family life. And I always love to share three of my takeaways as we're jumping into the conversation so that you can have a few little hints of what to listen for as I'm talking to my guest. So this week, my three takeaways are, number one, that oftentimes when you're creating something new, there will be times of testing. And how you respond to that testing really matters. But undoubtedly, God is going to use it to draw you nearer to Himself. Takeaway number two, fill your cup first. Make time to abide with God so that you have what you need to be able to pour out to others. And then takeaway number three, the call that we should let go of the illusion of control so that we can trust God and believe He's got us and the circumstances of our lives. That's what I've got for you today. Thank you so much for being here and listening. Please feel free to share it with a friend who might need to hear this story. And now it is an honor to introduce you to Jamie Dodaro. Hello, Devoted Dreamers. Welcome back to the podcast. I have Jamie Dodaro here today. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is fun to talk with you. And I mean, this maybe matters more to me than everybody listening, but you're a Coloradoan. Is that how we say that? Fellow Coloradan, that's the word. I don't often get to talk to Colorado natives. I don't know very many, actually.
Yes. It seems like if you are a native, you know a lot of natives.
Absolutely. I know like two, and I think you're one of them.
Okay. I make up 50%.
Yeah, 50% of my Colorado native friends. But I'm so glad you're here and I'm looking forward to this conversation for a while now. Will you kick us off and share what your God-shaped dream is?
Sure. So, you know, I have always worked in hotels and I kind of have always had on my heart to write a children's prayer book. I never knew when that would come to fruition or how that was going to happen, but I knew that some way, somehow, I would make it happen sometime over my life. And it just seemed really appropriate. I was furloughed in March of 2020 from my job in hospitality. And at that time, it was kind of like, okay, I know I'm going to be home with my kids, but what else does that look like? And God just put it on my heart one night to even, you know, address it with my husband and be like, I am interested in writing a children's prayer book. And, you know, what do you think? And he was in full support. And I think that, you know, it's so helpful to have support in your life like that around you. Even when you don't have support, you kind of have those feelings, those dreams that are on your heart that God kind of just puts into, you know, into your life and puts it as just something that you feel like you should go towards. And so that's what it was for me. And that's when I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to figure out what this looks like and how I am going to write a children's prayer book. And I kind of just went from there. And it's absolutely crazy to look back and think over the time during a pandemic that I actually wrote and published a children's prayer book, but I did. And kind of just a testimony to, you know, you can do anything that you set your mind and your heart to, and God will lead the way. He will put the resources and the pieces in place for you to be able to, you know, accomplish things that you never thought were possible.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it seems like a pandemic is a perfect time to write and publish a children's prayer book. But I want to back up a little bit and ask another question about your husband. When you talked to him, like, what was his reaction? Was that like, oh, of course you should do it? Or was he surprised that you would present such a thing?
You know, we've been together for longer than a decade now. And I think nothing shocks him as far as the things that I seem to think that I can do. He will always be the first person to tell me, I will never tell you no, because he is in full support. And I think that that's, you know, that's a huge portion of a marriage too, is being able to support what someone, you know, has on their heart and mind. And I think that he knows that I'm, you know, a good person and want to make an impact in this life. And how that looks for me is sometimes different than what he might expect. And so when I told him that that's what I wanted to do, I'm sure in the beginning, he was kind of taken aback a little bit, because I clearly have no past history in journalism or even, you know, writing in general. And so I think that that's kind of was a little bit of a shocker to him. But I also know that when you are in a marriage, that you sometimes just have to see the person, you know, be determined to do their best, and be in support of that regardless of your own, you know, personal thoughts. And he's just always done a really good job of that. And that, you know, not every husband or wife is in support of, you know, things that look different for them. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit for being able to move forward with this. Obviously it was something financially that was, you know, not the cheapest thing to do by any means. I mean, you have to hire a publisher and an editor and an illustrator for the beautiful pictures. And so, you know, it's definitely something that I think, you know, he didn't say, I really want you to think about it first. He said, you know, I think that if that's what you want to do, then you should go ahead and do it. And I give him a lot of credit for letting me kind of just run and jump with things. I think also if God doesn't want things to work out, then they won't happen. So I think he is very aware of that in his faith as well.
Yeah, that's so, such a good point about having someone on your side who believes in you, kind of regardless of the outcome, right? Like,
sure,
you were going to invest some funds and he's like, I believe in you. And that's really, really powerful. Will you talk about the book a little bit?
Absolutely. So the book is called Dear God, 12 Children's Prayers. And I absolutely love the illustrations. They were done by Donna Stackhouse, obviously not done by myself because I'm not an illustrator by any means. But just, you know, 12 different prayers that I think are important for children to have as a basis for how they connect with God. You know, praying for courage, praying for faith, praying for strength, praying for their family, their friends, and just really kind of addressing the things that you need every single day to be able to, you know, not only grow and develop into like this wonderful person, but also be able to turn to God in time of need. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that each of the prayers does have a scripture written on the opposing page, which speaks to the prayer. So I wanted to directly reference the Bible because that's something that's always been impactful for me. I think that everyone has kind of their own interpretation of certain scriptures, but these specific scriptures have spoken to me in regards to the prayers that I've written. And I just wanted to make sure that the people who are reading, you know, parents, kids, older brothers and sisters, that they kind of were aware of where I got the words to speak those prayers. And a lot of that has to do with the Bible and with scripture. So,
oh, that's awesome. Do you have a favorite prayer or scripture from the book?
You know,
it's not a fair question.
It's not easy because there are 12 there's only 12.
Yeah.
But I love the prayer for courage because I think that if I didn't have the courage, I wouldn't be able to, and it's actually the first prayer of the book, but I wouldn't be able to have written this book and kind of chased after these dreams of just, you know, doing something completely different. The book does actually finish with a prayer for faith. And that also is something that I've held on strong to. I think when you are in a pandemic and you lose your career or your life takes a turn and you have to pivot, you know, you have to turn and you have to be ready to turn to God and ask him, you know, can you please lead the way with this? And that's about faith. And that's about, you know, really being able to say, okay, well, I am going to give it to you, God, because it's not always easy. And especially if somebody like myself, I want to be able to make the decisions and control things. And God has a separate plan for you than you have for you. And being able to be okay with that. And so, yeah, so long-winded answer. I have two favorites, the first and the last prayers of the book. But all of them I love. Actually, one of the prayers my family says every single night before dinner when we're together. And so that's something that they have memorized. It's the shortest prayer in the book, of course, because I have little kids. But yeah, so it's made an impact not only on myself, but on my family. So I think it's crazy to look at it in person and have it, you know, be able to hold it in my hands.
Yeah. Well, what a gift God gave you in that season. And you're reminding me that we probably shouldn't skip over the fact that you lost your job and your career, you know, prior to any of this, you know,
it's like,
oh, you did this cool book thing, but oh, first there was some disappointment, I'm sure. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think that it's kind of crazy a little bit about my story, but not only did I lose my job during the pandemic, I was furloughed and working in hospitality. And I actually had a very, very successful year in 2019. I was being recognized for that in January. And by March of 2020, I was furloughed. And I think it's hard for people to understand what furlough means, but it's basically you're rehirable with every intention that we will bring you back should we have the capability to do so. And that for hospitality, especially in a time like a pandemic, when there's just not a lot of travel happening, it's just very hard to come by. And so besides that, I had a daughter in 2019 in April, and she was born with a very complicated form of congenital heart disease. She has what's called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And I actually had a perfect pregnancy and did not know until she was 2 days old that she had this diagnosis. And she actually spent her first 34 days of life in the hospital. And she's had two open heart surgeries, another one that's set to happen here pretty soon this fall. But I think a lot of those things that happen in your life that you don't have control of or look very different from what you had imagined. I mean, I imagined on the second day that I was going to bring her home, and that wasn't what happened. And so I think when things take a turn that look very different from what you had the idea of, then you have to really try. I mean, in that time, I was on my knees a lot, praying to God to just really save her. And of course we were in the best, you know, the best hospital and the best doctors and, surrounded with very supportive nurses and staff. And it, you know, just, it was a great time to be where we were in that moment. But I think even more so, her life has had so much more of an impact on me and in my thoughts of, if I'm going to do something, it needs to be now because we're never guaranteed that time. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, obviously, with being furloughed and having this extra time and not working the 50, 60 plus hours a week in hospitality, that I had the ability to be able to do that. And God was putting that right where it needed to be for me. And it's hard to recognize those things and to recognize things and maybe things that happen in your life that are in turn a blessing. The fact that she's here is a blessing. So, you know, just, it just is very, it's a lot to come by, I think. It's a lot to handle, really. Mm-hmm. So, I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful. I had a children's prayer book when I was little that I loved, that made a huge impact on my life. I still have it. it still has my scribbles in it, like, you know, the torn pages. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to pay it forward and give someone else that same kind of feeling. And so that's kind of how that happened, really. I think a lot of times out of trauma can grow something beautiful. And so that's kind of how that happened for me.
And I feel like I heard you say that in that your faith grew, like going through all of that with your daughter and then your job, that God just met you in it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, at that, it's so hard when you're going through something to sit back and say, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier after the fact to look back on what happened and say, see, he knew what he was doing this entire mm-hmm. time. But I did a lot of praying. I still do a lot of praying and a lot of crying and a lot of asking. And not only asking God for things for me, for my family, but asking him what I can do. And I think that that's, this book is something that he told me, this is what you can do. And this is what, you know, the legacy that you can leave, or part of the legacy that you can leave. So, yeah.
That's really sweet too, because, I mean, it's a gift to others, but what a gift to your own kids to see mommy prioritizing this relationship with God so much that you would take this huge shift in your focus in life. And, you know, maybe by necessity, but to model for them, this is important, even and especially when life turns upside down. So that's what a gift to them and to us. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. You're so welcome. I never thought that I would, you know, get to see people read it on video and post it on Facebook, but I have, and I just, it brings so much joy to my just to my heart and to my life. And, you know, I've dedicated the book to my three kids. I have two biological kids and I have a stepson that I've been with since he was very little. And, you know, I hope they know, and I hope they remember that in times of need, but in everyday life, it's so important to turn to God and to pray and to really show up as someone of faith. And I hope they know that. So
yeah. Well, this is the first step, right? You model it for them and they see it happening and it becomes natural in their life and their home. So that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
So as you were kind of at the early stages of creating the book, did you have to fight back any kind of fears or struggles or even attacks from the enemy, like telling you can't do it? Or like, what were some of the barriers between deciding you wanted to do it and it actually happening?
So I think that if you're going to decide to do something, first and foremost, hold yourself accountable, write it down, make it happen. You know, a mentor of mine always says, you know, take it out of your brain and put it on the paper. And I think that that's something that's great. So I think that that's really important. But in regards to the enemy coming in, I had some people very, very close to me that actually laughed at me when I told them that I was doing this and laughed in my face. And I don't think that's very nice.
Right.
Rude.
Totally rude.
But B, I also feel like, those are the kinds of times where you can stand back and you can say, okay, I'm going to let their opinion take over and I'm going to give up, or I'm not going to listen to what they say and I'm going to strive and I'm going to just really push through and I'm going to be making a bigger impact than even someone laughing in my face for that brief moment. Mm-hmm. The more sad part about the situation with that is that it was, some people that were very, very close to me. And I think a lot of times we think in life that those people that are super close to you are always going to be the most supportive. And what I found through, my tribe of people on social media, maybe I've not met them firsthand in person, but I have received so much support, so much love, so much just this amount of support that I received from them has been incredible. And I think that, just because one person says something bad doesn't mean you're not positively affecting 100 people or 500 people or, however many people end up ever buying or reading the book. I think that's hard. That's really hard. And especially to not, have animosity towards the person that laughed at you. I think that, because now I want to be like, well, look how awesome it is.
Right.
But I think that's when the devil will come in, the enemy will come in and find those loopholes where they know that you are your weakest. So for me, I always like to ask for approval. That's just kind of my personality. That's how I've always been. I'm a people pleaser. And so when I heard that firsthand from someone, it just, it's kind of heartbreaking, but at the same time, you're like, okay, let me step back for a minute and think to myself, is this the enemy coming in? Or, even if this person knew how much it was breaking my heart that they were saying this, where would they really be saying something like this? Mm. I think you definitely have some times when you are tested, when you are creating anything. And that speaks to things that you write, things that you create, whether that's art or content or whatever that looks like. There will always be people that they will love what you do 100%. But knowing that God's got you and he knows what he's doing and he knows why he put things where he put them. It just definitely that was a hard portion of writing the book. The rest of it for me really was, I just started and you just have to keep going. It's just like, you just start, you figure out what you want to do and you just keep writing. And I think that that's, what's really important, is just to take a concept, an idea, and break it down and really think about what you want to do. I think sometimes we get so complacent in our life of, okay, we get up every morning and we make the coffee and we do this and we get the kids ready or whatever that looks like. And we don't really sit with our thoughts, our feelings, our prayers, our faith. You know, we don't really sit in that quiet spot to really hear what God's trying to tell us. Yeah, I mean, that's taken me a long time to learn, and I still have to discipline myself to do that every day, especially when there's so much noise. There's so much noise. There's so much distraction. There's there's noise from everything, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm just happy with how it's come out, and I just really hope that there's kids, parents, you know, children out there that really will love it as much as I do. So,
yeah. Well, first let me say, I'm so sorry that someone laughed in your face. It's like, I cannot believe that would happen, but
sure.
It does.
Yeah.
Totally does. Mm-hmm. And my second thought is like, well, you didn't do it for those people then, you know, it's not for them. It's for someone else. Clearly, as right. you said, it has touched the lives of others. So,
right.
Way to push through.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you mentioned taking time to pause and sit with the Lord and pray and hear from Him. Will you talk about maybe just as a mom of young kids and someone pursuing a dream like this, like what either specific scriptures or spiritual disciplines have been supportive to you, even if they're not 100% consistent? Like, what have you done over time that's been helpful?
Sure. So I like to read a daily devotional. I have a couple of different authors that I like. Joyce Meyer is one of them. There's a couple of apps that I really like. But I think it's important for, regardless of what that looks like for you or for anyone out there listening, is really just committing to yourself and to God that you're going to sit with Him and with you, if, you know, at some point every day. That's really what's been huge for me is, you know, my kids go to bed at a specific time, wake up at a specific time. And, you know, throughout their lives that change, that has a tendency to change. But I owe it to myself, to my family, to be able to fill my own cup first. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do. Is I'm more of a night owl than I am a morning person. I've been trying to get better about that. But I do stay up a little bit later so that I can be with God and be in prayer and, you know, write down affirmations, write down, you know, journal things. And I think that that's really important. I think there's a lot to be said about reading the scripture, reading the Bible and reading scripture. And being able to in turn relate that back to your life and what that looked like for me, especially since my daughter was born. I can't really attend in-person church service because of her condition. She's very mm-hmm. immunocompromised, and she does have, you know, much like my other children, the ability to pick up germs at every turn. Mm-hmm. And so I really have had to turn to, you know, viewing my church service online and referring back to scripture and using my own Bible. And I think that that's something that you just have to have self-discipline with. You have to commit to, okay, every day I'm going to give myself 10 minutes. And maybe that turns into 30, or maybe for that day I only read a devotional and it's 5. And then all of a sudden somebody is awake and or somebody yeah. has something, you know, they need to go to the bathroom or they need some water or something happens and I'm not able to do that. But you have to make sure that you are committing some time to do it. And that looks so different for every person. My husband's schedule is, and I've mentioned him a couple times, but I mean, we are in a marriage together and we, you know, we are the foundation of our household, and he works a lot. And so it's always kind of a different schedule. And so you have to figure out, you know, where do you make that time? For me, I love to have a planner. I love to do time blocking. But all of those for me have just been the foundation of really making time for that relationship with God. And I think what's important, and I mentioned this earlier, is being able to ask God what I need to do for him. That's taken me a long time to figure out, because I've always asked God for so many things. And, you know, if you would just please save my daughter, or if you would please just, you know, give my son less of an attitude. That all always looks a little different depending on which child. But, you know, I really think that you just have to make that time to turn to God and ask him, you know, I know that you're doing, because God's doing so many things for you that you can't see. And what is it that I can do for him? I asked him that for a really long time. I'll continue to ask him that. And I think that that's important too, because, you know, I think a lot of people think my relationship with God looks like me praying to him and not hearing a response, or he just gives me things, or whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And you're forgetting that our relationship is reciprocal. Mm-hmm. And what is it that we're willing to do for him, and to make an impact, or to be there for family members, for friends, for, you know, what we do on this earth while we're here, and what we can do for God. So,
yeah, it's such a kind of a lifelong journey, right? That
sure,
we don't figure it out all at once. And I mean, he's not, I don't know, he doesn't have a checklist for us. Like, I loved what you said about finding your time, finding some time to be in the Word, whenever that is, that works for you. It doesn't have to be what your best friend or your neighbor does, but that being present to hear from him and what he's got for you in your life is huge. It's huge. I've had friends say to me, like, he's not a vending machine God. And it's like, oh yeah, right. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. It's not all about what I need and want. In fact,
sure. And I think too, you know, it's not about you being able to pick and choose what that is. Mm-hmm. That's been hard for me too, especially because I've always been, you know, the person that I'm the matriarch of the house, and I take care of all the things. And so I feel very in control, and it's, you know, God has another plan for you, that you don't know about, you know,
yeah.
and that's hard.
But he is faithful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. More so than he should be, I think, with me.
No, we don't deserve it at all.
No, yes. I feel very undeserving. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. But he showers us with grace and mercy. And that is so, such a gift. Such a gift.
It's a huge gift.
Absolutely. Well, would you tell us, again, where we can find your book, where people can connect with you if they want to know more about your story or anything else going on in your life?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook or Instagram, Jamie Dodaro, just one word. It's my full name. But also you can find the book on Amazon. All you have to do is in the search bar, just search for Dear God, and my book will come up. Also, I have a website, which is jamiedodaro.com, and just a little bit of information about me, as well as you can subscribe to my email list there. I don't really send out a lot of emails, but that's something that I'm working on. Maybe God's calling me to send something. Who knows? So
sweet. Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. I'll put all that in the show notes. And I really do. I feel like even since we last talked a couple months ago, I have a little one who's 3, and I'm noticing in her just like a softness in her heart, where at night she'll say, thank you, God and Jesus. Thank you, God and Jesus, for whatever. And I'm like, this book would be perfect for her.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'll have to go check it out. Yeah, maybe that's a Christmas gift coming, but thank you for writing it.
Great stocking stuffer.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome. Well, before we go, I would love to have you just kind of sum up this conversation with just some thoughts about how you've seen, you know, looking back now, as you talked about earlier, like being able to look at it with hindsight, how has God transformed you in what he's brought you through in the last few years of following this dream?
You know, I think that how God has transformed me is so incredible and something it's very hard for me to explain in words, just because the person that I am today isn't, I don't think the person 10 years ago would recognize who I am now. And that's just because I think that God has just come into my life and said to me, you were made to do more things, and you were made to make so much more of an impact than you will ever be able to embrace or wrap your hands around. And 10 years ago, I don't think I really thought about things like that. I think I was just very consumed with, you know, what my life looked like at the time and where my career was going. And it just wasn't a huge deal for me. And I think that God has really placed on my heart at this point, you know, what is the impact that you want to make, and how can you positively impact people in their life and bring faith and prayer to kids, to families that may really need it, especially during the pandemic where there was, you know, a lot of loss. I think that in those times, it's so important for people to turn to God. And so I think that, you know, his transformation is going to be just something that continues on my entire life, but something that has just made such a huge impact in my life, in my kids' life, in my family, that I am just so grateful. It makes me have such gratitude when I wake up every single day that, you know, I was given this life and I'm surrounded by these people that love and support me, even if sometimes they don't support me. but really having these just amazing times and quiet time every single day with God has just really transformed my faith in him. And so, yeah, I think that this book is something that's just the beginning of a transformation that will continue on with myself and with God.
If while listening to this episode, you thought that maybe it is finally time to pursue your own God-shaped dream, and if a little structure and personalized support would be helpful to you in that endeavor, let's chat about dream coaching. You can join me for a free 30-minute discovery call so we can connect one-on-one and see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Sign up at bit.ly/dreamercall.